I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. This is the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. The remedy for boredom has arrived. And boy, there is no boredom today because my best friend Speewee is here. He returns to Talk is Jericho, and he's for the first time the star of the show. He was on last time as the opening act for Hulk Hogan. Did so well, got such a buzz from the Talk is Jericho universe. I decided it was time to move him up to the big leagues. He is the guest today. He's pretty crazy, man. As you know, he's a nutty guy, very, very funny, very loopy, and also a very talented songwriter and musician as well. And you're going to hear his new song. He's going to tell you all about it. Plus, he's going to tell us about being an extra on the TV show Fargo. And he's talking about being on the set, what he did to get the part, and you'll hear all about how the ups and downs of being a background performer in a major television show. He's also going to tell us about the time he almost drowned in the lake in Canada while his then girlfriend swam beside him. Trying to help him, and also how a real man came and saved him. Ridiculous stories as well about his puberty. Very strange years for all of us, but I think Speewee's were strange the most. Watch out for Bunny and Marianne. You know it's Speewee, you know it's crazy, you know it's happening right here on Talk is Jericho. Once again, though, another reason why Speewee is here is because he's got some new music. He's releasing two new singles today as the Dave Spivak Project is DSP, working on a full-length album, should be finished this fall. And because he's my best friend, you're going to get to hear the first single from the Dave Spivak Project. And we're going to talk about all that inspired this song, the Dylan-esque qualities of it, Z-Von, a little bit tragically hip. But here it is. Enough of my yakking. It's the Dave Spivak Project. And I didn't quit. I just ran out of money. World premiere right now on Talk to Jericho.
People don't do me much good. Living in this cynical world. The ragged sissies in the court, all trying to drag you apart. And I'm down on 59, broken roads and doing time. Still trying to find the way of the ordinary. Well, I miss the bump and I miss the hip. Why miss that psychedelic trip? Why did it quit? I just ran out of money. Give me another drink and I'll tell ya, I ain't feeding no lies. But that girl you knew last summer, well, she was out to kill your mind. And now you're home and defensive, like a dog guarding a bone. Why don't I walk these Traverse Bay roads? Walk those roads alone. Well, I miss the charge and I miss the ounce. I miss Bukowski's second day bounce. I didn't quit, I just ran out of money.
Thank you. by your home. When you're out on the Trans-Canada and you're always alone, but I'll be smiling all the way where the pavement turns to sand. Driving the Gold Coast Highway, holding your hand. Well, I miss the bump and I miss the hair. Well, I miss that psychedelic trip. I didn't quit, I just ran out of money. Well, I didn't quit, I just ran out of money. I didn't quit, I just ran out of money.
So what did you think?
Pretty damn good, right?
I thought very well done, well produced, great drums, great bass. It is I Didn't Quit, I Just Ran Out of Money by the Dave Spivak Project. You can follow them on the Twitter at D Spivak Project. That's S-P-I-V-A-K Project. You can follow him on the Twitter at Spiwi as well. If you want to hear the other stuff he's got going on, go check that out. He's got another great tune called Get Out of My House. But Spiwi is not getting out of my house. He's going to get on to my show. Get out of my dreams. Get on to my show. Spiwi is here. Now that you got a taste of I Didn't Quit, I Just Ran Out of Money, what's the story behind it? You're going to hear all about it coming up. And you're also going to hear all about Jake the Snake on the new DVD Blu-ray collector's edition of the amazing documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. You got to go check that out now. And what you're going to do is you're going to go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. You'll get 10% off the amazing Blu-ray DVD documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. 10% off if you order there, ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Not only is this one of the most riveting documentaries you're ever going to see, it's also filled with killer bonus features. Diamond Dallas Page and his crew put so much time and effort into this DVD, including a commentary track with Dallas Page, Jake the Snake, and director Steve Yeu. Very honest, very revealing commentary track. I've listened to it myself. And I'm not kidding when I say this is one of the best documentaries you'll see. I think my favorite documentaries I've seen over the years were King of Kong, American Movie, Anvil, the true story of Anvil, Not Another B-Movie, and this one, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. Great documentaries, whether you like wrestling or not, whether you like the subject or not, you will watch it and you will be riveted. Jake the Snake battles back from certain death, reclaims his life, his family, his career, nothing but inspiring. Such a powerful story about redemption, second chances. And right now you can get 10% off the documentary. Once again, when you order at ddpyoga.com/Jericho, you can actually get 10% off anything you purchase for a limited time. And that includes Diamond Dallas Page's amazing fitness program, the revolutionary program that saved my wrestling career, DDP Yoga. And you know what DDP Yoga has done for me? Like I said, what continues to do for me, for my music career, for my quality of life in general, for cardio, physio cardio shape. I'm headlining shows at 45 years old, headline SmackDown on Friday against Dean Ambrose. We had a great match against Cesaro on Monday. That's DDP Yoga helping out and doing its thing to keep me rocking, to keep me at full speed, man. So get yourself a copy of ddpyoga.com/Jericho. This program will get you in the best shape of your life. I guarantee it. It will inspire you as much as it inspires me. Get into it, man. Life is short. You need to be the best you can be. Go give DDP Yoga and the DDP Yoga Now app, which is one of the most technologically advanced apps I've ever had. I do all my workouts through this app. DDP has got it down pat, man. I want you to change your life for the better, get in the best shape of your life. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and go do it now, man. I want you to want DDP.
Talk is Jericho.
You no good, Spivak. You never been any good. You try, sure you've tried before, but your trying is sleeping in till 2 p.m. and going to work for maybe an hour and a half. Oh, keep dreaming, Spivak. It'll come for you soon. You'll be in Disneyland one day, maybe acting there next to Snow White. Oh, as if she'd have you. Nobody will have you. You're stupid. Look how fat you are. You're wearing a girdle tonight, but you're not telling anybody. You're so fat. Your thyroid problem's out of control. All the pills you take, it doesn't matter. Keep getting your dosages up. Maybe it's not thyroid. Maybe it's something worse. Maybe you got something from the bird flu because you hate birds and they haunt you or whatever. You're not even funny anyway. Look at that dumb joke you tried to tell Spivak, you loser. What are you doing at the Sheraton anyway? Like the Sheraton? It's not a Holiday Inn, Spivak. Sure, it's not the Taj Mahal, but we wouldn't expect the likes of your poor ass to be down here at the Sheraton Hotel. And oh, yeah, you're going to the mountains tomorrow, but you're putting it on your credit card as if you're going to pay for it anyway. You know you're going under again, Spivak. Hey, Revenue Canada, give me a call. Oh, yeah, give me a call right now. Revenue Canada will kill me. They'll kill me. They'll all kill me.
And with that, the famous Spewy pep talk. He's back on the show. Highly requested after last year. You did a couple guest appearances, and ever since then, many people, including Raven, have been saying, "Bring back Spewy, bring back Spewy." And here he is, my old high school friend, one of my oldest friends.
We didn't like each other at
all the way the years, and now you're back, Spewy, and your famous pep talk. Now, the last time, I've said this before, but of all the guests I've had on the show, the only one that I've ever had to stop the tape by request of the guest and start again was with you. A lot of demands.
Yeah. Well, we're doing well so far. Roll the credits.
Roll the credits. But it's good. This is a big shot for you to show the real Spewy, because people have said...
They don't know the real me.
The people have said how funny you really are.
Oh.
And that's the thing, to get into the course of the natural conversation, because we're such good friends.
It's a jam.
That we do nothing is just like insult each other constantly.
Yeah.
So whenever you see each other, like face to face, like today when I saw you, I haven't seen you for like, I don't know, 6 months. We talk every day on the phone, talk every day on voice text, and then actually see you and have no real desire to talk to you face to face.
Yeah, really, it's like he's back and I'm like, yeah, I'm here, and it's like we really don't even have any questions for each other.
Don't really have anything in common.
The hatred is very high.
But it really kind of is. Like, I'm not sure really why we're really friends at this point. You know, because it's really like, unless there's insulting going on and just demeaning and cutting down everything that the guy says.
Yeah.
You know, it's even like we have in our group text, we have this like crazy group text with all of our friends, and nobody ever reacts positively to anything that anybody else says.
Yeah, no, nobody wants to give anybody any credit, and there's a big hatred amongst almost everybody in that group. It's all for comedy. It really is fun, but there is... Well, yeah, there's a little bit of tension sometimes.
But we were talking, because like in the group text, because you were mentioning how like the big story, and we'll talk about this, is when you were you went down to do some stuff for Fargo, which was filmed here in Calgary, where we are right now.
Yeah, it was my big break.
Tell us about the whole story about Fargo and what happened when you actually showed up there.
Well, I got I did one little stint on Hell on Wheels, actually. And I went down just as some background stuff. Didn't show up. Right. I watched the episode in slow motion, right? Not at all.
Oh, you actually did some extra work for Hell on Wheels?
Yeah. Oh, I would walk out right in front of the horse and the main character and, you know, all the ethnics or whatever they were there. Like, or
you know, were you told to walk in front of them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. I just showed up on set. I was this guy that walked around. No, and I didn't show up. But the casting director, I was really nice to her on the phone. I got a nice talk, and I got to know her a little bit. I never met her, but we just had a great, you know, rapport. And she goes, "Do you have gun training?" And I said, "Yeah, like, sure."
You know, do you really have gun training?
No. And she's like, "No, like, do you really have gun training?" Is exactly what she said to me. And I was like, "Well, I said I grew up hunting every day of my life in Manitoba. Like, you know, it's like..." And I guess she bought it. She's not from there. I mean, I'm from Winnipeg. You're from Winnipeg. We never fired a gun unless you were in a gang. You were shooting anything. None of us hunted. I never held a gun. I held a gun.
That's the rule of Hollywood. If someone says, you know, "Can you skydive?" You're like, "Of course I can."
Right.
Well, and then go online to...
Not skydiving or swimming.
Right.
Not for me. But I said that I had gun training, and I'm not kidding. I started going on YouTube looking at lessons, like, you know, and kind of figuring out how to hold a gun. And I didn't know, like, I was going to be a Kansas City goon. She says, "There's this part for a Kansas City goon, but you have to have gun training. Do you have, like, papers?" And I said, you know, "Hunting every day in Manitoba." She says, "Okay, fine, you can come." I was like, "Really?" You know, it's great. So I went out, YouTubed the crap out of it. Even driving a set, I was YouTubing how to shoot a 33 or a Magnum, like a handgun. And then I went out to Canadian Tire and I bought a pellet BB gun, like a cross of it. It's really mean looking. It looks like a real gangster thing. And I made all these videos of myself doing it.
And, you know, tried to figure it out. And then I YouTubed it on the way to set, you know. And I showed up and I blew the building up. Like, there was like 14 of us. I sort of show up in that scene. You know.
So you show up and, like, what do you see when you're on the set? Like, there's just, there's some big actors in that show.
Huge, yeah. Okay, so the first day, I just went with a group of people to the house. You see the Gerhardt house that was built out by Bragg Creek. And I head over there and I go out and I saw Jean Smart.
Plays Mrs. Gerhardt.
Yeah. And she's just great. And she did a part or something. I could hear her, like, you know, yelling at somebody. I think it's actually her and the daughter. And it's the scene before we shoot up the building.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of shot them in sequence, at least when I was there. So then we go out and I got a little bit lost in the crowd. It kind of sucked because I was right behind Bokeem Woodbine and an actor named Brad Mann, who's from Vancouver. I think he might be on the new X-Files or something. He's one of the twins.
The twin kitchen tins. Yeah, like twins, the big goons, the real goons. So you're like kind of like the background, like the
part right
of the
there.
Gang.
I'm like their thug, like right next to them, right behind them, and I'm going to be on the main shot. And then the director gets everybody to take a break, and everybody goes back to the spots, and we all try to go in there, and some guy cuts me off and basically takes my spot. And
in the shot,
yeah. So then one of the other directors just rushed me all the way down the line, and I was far left, and there's like, I guess, 12 of us, I think, and I just kind of did like a half circle to try to get as close as I could to the camera, but I'm walking through puddles and stuff, right? It was bad. I mean, you can kind of see me. Actually, I showed you, like, I sent you a photo, and I drew a red circle. It's actually not me. There was another guy that kind of looked like me. And I just wanted to pretend that was me. So that split millisecond that I paused.
So were you ever actually in the show at all?
Yes.
When?
Yeah. There's a scene where Bokeem and Brad Mann are walking down a hallway. They're just coming around the corner, going down the hallway. It's a long, long shot, not a close-up shot whatsoever. And I'm the third guy that comes around the corner, but you can't see anything but my leg. Well, you can see my body, you know, my face. Yeah. So I mean, my legs are worth it right there.
Was that kind of a drag, like, after you spend, how many days are you on set?
4 days.
And when the actual show comes out, you're not in it, did that piss you off?
Well, yeah, because I had intimate shots that were filmed, and I had friends that were behind the camera, and I didn't even ask them. They were just running at me like, holy crap, man, you killed it. That was a great scene. And there really was a good one with Brad Mann and I, Bokeem Woodbine, where he's talking. She's telling the daughter of the Gerhardt, the granddaughter, is saying, you know, kill my father and kiss his grits. Tell him, I said, kiss his grits.
Yeah.
Well, she's saying that to him, and he's lying on a bed on the phone. She's in the same room as me. It's us three. And there's 10 cameras. There's everything. Like, it's the hottest room I've ever been in. This is a huge production. And I'm there. They called me out of all the extras, all the background guys, to come in for this big scene. They're like, you look like a psychopath. You'll be great, is what they said. But I had the mustache, so I'm in. And it's a close-up scene, and I was taking a dump the day before, and I was reading Michael Caine's book, Acting in Film. And no, I'm swear to God. And yeah, and there was he says, like, in a close-up, don't blink. Less is so much more in a close-up. And this camera's right in our face. So less is more, don't blink. So I'm not blinking, and don't look at the camera. So I'm looking off the camera, and I'm not blinking. And Bokeem Woodbine looks at me and he says his little, like, Pulp Fiction type rant. Can't remember the words. And then he gives me a nod. And I give the most subtle nod that you've ever seen in your life. Like, I'm talking Brando shit. Like, I can't even explain it. It was like, you may just have to go. Did that guy's head move?
Right.
And looked up. And my friends that were behind the scene, they were like, dude, that was amazing. Like, you looked so like a real thing. So I was super excited about it. And I had a couple other scenes that were smaller. Like, the one down the hallway was actually like a good 35 seconds. Well, they only put 1.5 seconds of it down or whatever. But I was really excited going into, you know, thinking that this was the one. But I did tell you, I said, it's either this one doesn't make it, it doesn't matter at all. And the other, you know, the thing is too, is like, I've had what I feel is a lot of training in being a great actor. You know, so
from what do you mean?
You know, I've never seen Star Wars or Empire Strikes Back or the other one.
What kind of movies were you watching?
Sex Boat, Deep Throat, you know. I was taught how to act from the greats. Tom Byron, Peter North, Ron Jeremy, T.T. Boy, Cal Jammer, Shawn Michaels, not the wrestler.
These are all porn guys.
Randy West, Jerry Butler.
Not the hockey player.
Not the hockey player.
You also had an orange garbage bag in your closet for so many years.
Yeah, I had VHS tapes in there. Half of them were porn tapes. Yeah.
Well, not half of them. All of them.
All of them. Actually, funny enough, they were half porn tapes and half Cosby Show. I swear, how funny is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Apropos is that, right?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm a lover, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't put any of that stuff down. I definitely don't watch porn like I used to, but I just, porn needs creativity. I could be a great porn director. I'm not against it, and I think it would be great. And I'm not going to tell you right here today why I think it would be great.
Well, you've got the touch for it.
I think I just have the eye. I think I have the taste for it, you know?
But what makes a good porno movie?
Kissing.
In what way?
It can be like total hardcore crazy, but I got to see it. I can't look at these girls like they're just a piece of meat anymore. Like they're hookers or like it gets really redundant and it's all the same thing. It's like you can look at the scene and go, this is how it starts. This is the middle part. This is what's going to happen. And there's the finish. And it's just great if you see the passion, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
So you like the kissing part of
it? Yeah. Yeah, it's not funny. I'm not trying to be funny.
No, I'm not trying to be funny either. I'm asking you. Because you are an aficionado.
When I was younger, yeah. I mean, I used to joke and laugh about the guys, and I would study their acting bits. And that's a true story. It wasn't really as much about the porn.
Right.
Well, I mean, obviously, that is a part of it. But, you know, anyway, I remember, I can even remember things like trying lots of different things just to try to get off. Like, just anything. You would do things back when you were young. I had a vacuum, right? And I would use it on my dick. Some dumb kid in school would say, you know, oh, you want to get a blowjob, use a vacuum, you know. So I didn't know what a blowjob even was. So I'd ding in my head, I'd go, vacuum, good time, you know. And I'd go home and put my wiener in there. And
what?
Yeah. But you never did that?
No. Everybody with a vacuum cleaner? Like
everybody.
How do you do that without it like sucking up your wiener?
Everybody has stories like this, dude. Trust me, they do. I'm not alone here. This may be embarrassing for me to say this, but I'm done with that. I'm going to live my life who I am, okay? And tell you the truth is that everyone has stories like this.
Okay, so what was the job of a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, I had a vacuum
cleaner. Aren't you worried that's going to like just like suck you right in?
You know, it was one of those vacuums that was like a kind of like, I don't know, fuck, it's hard to explain, but like a football on wheels, like, but it was super powerful, like from like 50 years ago too, and just hard metal. I know what you mean. It didn't last long.
So
it didn't last
long. You put on like low suck or
low suck. That thing was like on or off, dude. There's no low suck. Low suck vacuum. God, that'd be great. Well, I didn't even know how to come, right? Like, I was rubbing the head of my cock every night before I went to bed without jacking it, and all this water would kind of come out, like a little bit of... That's why I was asking if you remember that.
Yeah, like pre...
Yeah.
Pre-cum or whatever.
Yeah, it was like the best orgasm ever, kind of, but it was an inner thing, right? Because you never were releasing it to feel the guilt of the, you know, Tom Byron and the Randy West and T.T. Boy and Cal Jammer and... But the I remember I had a stuffed animal, Bunny was its name, and it always so its legs were spread. It was made that way, and it wasn't a sexual thing unless you were like 9 years old and you had the juices coming out of you already, like me, might have been 14. 14 years old, I mounted Bunny. I took Bunny. I cut a hole in Bunny's crotch, and I entered Bunny, and I would kind of masturbate and then maybe kind of pump Bunny. And I don't quite remember the exact order or the way things really are. There's way worse things than this, but I'll just tell you what I can. So I kind of did like a cum pee into Bunny's hole that I created.
So you're having intercourse with a stuffed bunny.
Yeah. Stuffed animal. Yeah. And then I...
And peeing inside of it.
And I want to say I'm probably 8 or 9 because I remember checking it every week to see if it was pregnant. But I also remember laughing at myself in the mirror that I was doing that.
Stupid Spivak, like, stupid Spivak.
No, not stupid Spivak, but almost laughing like, good one, man. Like, you know it's not pregnant, but it was a way that I could sleep at night.
Right.
Knowing that I was filling it with this weird liquid.
Strange concoction.
Of urine jizz, yeah. Yeah, no, I had a strange puberty. I mean, it was my escape for me. And I mean, I'm 43. I mean, I'm sexual. I mean, I'm a lover, you know, but I can't believe I used to be like,
why was puberty strange for you?
Why? I think it's strange for anybody, but yeah. It was always just like, for me, I had to like, I remember once, okay, I'll tell you a story. Like, I have not told a lot of people this. Oops, spilled a little drink. I have not told a lot of people this story, and I'm not super, super proud of the story. But it's a true story, and I think people should know this.
Okay.
I had a friend, Little Daniel.
We'll call him Little Daniel.
Yeah, we'll call him Little Daniel.
Protect his name. With like Fargo.
Yeah.
The names of the innocent have been changed.
Right,
and
exactly.
For the respect for the dead, the rest is the same.
Yeah. I'm on from the 130 mark to the 130.275 mark.
Of
episode 6. Look for me on episode 6. By the way, they should have used me. I'm just saying.
Oh, with that close-up that you learned from on the dumper?
You know, the problem is I look like that detective from Fargo that's on the show that's taking care of Peggy and the husband. He had the same mustache,
yeah,
same
hairstyle. And you also look like the twins
right,
as well. They had the same vibe too. So
I don't blame you, Fargo. Fargo, you can take me back in season 3 if you come back.
So let's go back to the story.
Okay. Yeah, they'll love to have me now. Little Bunny and
no, you're talking about little Daniel.
Oh, Little Daniel. Oh yeah, okay. Oh no, I talked about it like I'm into Little Daniel. I never was. I want to tell the story as pure as I can.
Okay.
Little Daniel was my best friend.
Right.
Okay. And me, him, and a couple other boys, you know, about maybe 12 or 13 years old or 11. I like to say 11 or 10 because it makes me feel less creepy. Like when I get up to like the fact that like I know girls that have lost their virginity. 15 or 16 years old. And even earlier. And here I am, you know, talking about jacking off to my friend moaning like a girl, you know.
We haven't told that yet.
Oh. Glenn, that's my Glenn Campbell. Oh. Oh.
So you're talking about little Daniel.
So little Daniel and I had another friend, and we'd get together and we'd lie on the mattress and we would take turns on your back, making sounds of a girl like orgasming. God, I don't want to sound like a
like Sleepless in Seattle, Meg Ryan type stuff. Like,
I guess so. Gotcha. Yeah, right. Sure. But you know,
but you guys are doing that to each other.
Yeah,
right.
No, not to each other.
No, but you're.
Oh, there's no touching each other.
No, but you're all hanging around and
right.
One guy's doing it. Yeah,
yeah.
Making those sounds.
Little Tyler
is lying on. So little Daniel. Oh God, okay.
Okay, so little Daniel.
Little Daniel lies on his back on my mattress.
Okay.
And he's and yeah, he said, hey, you should I said, you should do that thing that you did earlier, you know, with... I said, you should do that thing that you did earlier with our other friend, where you lie on your back and you pretend you're a girl coming, because I find that really funny. I told him I thought it was funny that I would laugh hard. And we were like, you know, 11 or 20.
Right.
And so he gets into position and he's pretending that his crotch is a woman's crotch and he's touching himself and he's going, oh, 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 oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And he's really doing a great job. Like, I got to give it to him.
Yeah.
So I knew he was, you know, I set it up, eh? I just kind of stole little Daniel's childhood. I hit play and record on my cassette player.
Right.
I stole little Daniel's childhood on a TDK-90.
It's creepy. Yeah. It's really weird, actually. But this comes from the same guy who, like, you told me before, you guys used to have boner contests.
We had boner contests.
What exactly is a boner contest?
You know, this all kind of intertwines to my idea of doing a Spiwi's Puberty Museum, which would be just such a great idea. You know, you like walk right through the tunnel. Like, say it's a tunnel, like a tarp. I don't know why I picture that. I picture it like a carnival, like a circus. You know,
circus.
So, you know, walking down a tunnel, and then all you see is a video of like my parents discussing if they should keep the baby. You know, that's how the whole thing starts. You turn around the corner, it's a wall of wipe ups. It's just like the worst. This perverted shit ever. Oh, that'd be just the best. Yes. What were you asking me?
Boner contest.
Oh, the boner contest. That is so obscure, man. That's at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow I knew, Daniel. Yeah, Daniel. Real Daniel. Okay. The real one. The real Daniel had a trailer down the way from me. And that's, like, you know, where I am out there. It's interesting because I love it. It's free.
You got a little cabin outside of Winnipeg.
God.
Grand Beach area.
Yeah.
Traverse Bay area.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Lot 6, Block 4 area. And I have parties and nobody bugs each other and it's great. And it's a lot of guitar and music playing through the night. It's really like a Grateful Dead weekend, like every time we go out. The sky's amazing. You know, it's like, it's just different, man. It's totally different.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've been in Florida, in Mexico, whatever. You're outside, it's hot. This is not the same, dude. This is like an energy out of the trees. It's nuts. It's like really weird. And there's a lot of mania, good mania that comes out of the night and everything. And as a kid, as a teenager, going through the puberty again, I would stop over at Shane's and he would have a boner contest and there'd be five of us lined up and we, but we would have to go into the bathroom and you'd have to get yourself as hard as you could. And then Shane would wait by the door. That is real.
We're calling him Shane. Yeah. It's not even close to his real
name.
And
he would measure the size of everybody's penis, but he would do it so quick because he didn't want to really look at it. So it'd be like, okay, 4 inches, 3 inches, 5 inches, whatever it was. But I created a category called largest bag because I had such a big bag. And I thought that meant something.
Right. Or it's good for something. Yeah, sure.
Right. I'm fine down there anyway. But yeah. I was never, you know, Shane was.
Not his real name.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Is there throwing his postal code out of address? You know, he had the best.
Really, is nice.
Well, yeah, it really was actually.
In what way?
Well, it was nice. It just looked good. It looked like good porn. Like right. That's what he had, and I was second to him. And I'll give him that. He had a beautiful
the second.
Guy.
2 out of 5. Hey, not bad.
The guy couldn't read or write. You know,
yeah, if you're in the Olympics, you would have won a silver medal.
Right,
great which is guy. Good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. I'm sure we're prefacing by this saying everybody. Little Daniel, great guy.
Yeah.
Shane, not necessarily his real name. Great guy.
Right.
Okay, so this is the type of stuff that you would do. It's some very crazy. You've always been very
athletic.
Super athletic and also a little bit unorthodox what you do and what you say.
Mm.
Very, very obvious.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean,
what does that even mean?
What you just talked about. Boner contests, Little Daniel, Bunny. I mean, most people wouldn't talk about that sort of thing. You're very open and free about your
business. Yeah, because there's nothing wrong with any of the stuff that I've done that way. That's the best thing about it. If there was something wrong about it or I had a moral issue with it, I would never talk about it. So that's
I think when you're growing up, everybody has issues like that, right? With different things that they do.
Yeah.
And different things that the experiences they have, but no one really wants to talk about it. But you've always been very free about that.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Like when I was a kid, I watched a lot of soap operas with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stay at home and I loved Another World as a small kid. Another World was my favorite soap opera, and I never missed it. And I think it brought out this like weird thing just happened. You know, there was an actress in it. This is 19. I'm not kidding. This is going to date me because I'm really not that old, but I was so young. So I'm like 5, 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 1977, '78. Right. Another World soap opera pre 1980 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There was a character in it named Marianne. She was so beautiful. I don't remember her to visual. I just remember the family still talking about this up to 35 years ago anyway, mm-hmm. right?
Your family talking about this, yeah.
Right. And I was so into Marianne as a kid, and I guess I was probably under 5, I would throw fits if the family didn't refer to me as Marianne. So, no, I mean, I would lose my mind. And I would cry and scream and hit things. And I go, my name's not David. It's Marianne. And they would have to call me Marianne. They had to do it. And it drove them nuts. But they had to do it because that's how mental I would go. Like locking me up in a prison screaming for my life.
Crazy. Right, right.
And I just thought she was just great. Like, I just love Marianne. And I know it's weird. But that's all these things. All these crazy little tiny things.
But it's interesting. Yeah, it's like...
which leads to me the reason I'm here to promote my new single. It's my first real 12-bar blues song. Because I've definitely, when I write, it's more of a folky edge or it's my own weird kind of... I always feel like if I'm writing a song and it has... It's like I have a seizure or something in the middle of it, like where it changes to something. But I never veered off on this song. And I was influenced maybe by that, I'm sure, because most of the blues I've heard is from Dylan. But I've been listening to a lot of people.
What's the song called you're talking about?
The song I wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't. Okay. So I have a friend at the cabin, out, you know, where I hang out, behind me. And he wasn't smoking one day. And he's a smoker normally. And I said, oh, my God, you know, we've been hanging out all day. You quit smoking. And he goes, well, I didn't quit. I just ran out of money, eh? Well, that's what he's a genius, but that's how they talk out there. So I said, oh, my God, man, like, what'd you just say? And he repeats, well, I didn't quit. I just ran out of money. So I Googled it. I'm not kidding. I Googled it right away. And I was like, there was no lyrics. There was no TV show. There was no film.
With that song title.
Like, nobody ever said right. it, according to Google, at least, right? So I was like... Okay, I'm on to something big here.
Right.
And that, you know,
it's a great song title.
And when you have that enthusiasm, you kill it. Like, I mean, I wrote that song in...
When inspiration strikes,
yeah,
it doesn't take
yeah,
long.
Yeah, maybe 15 minutes. I wrote two verses with two choruses, and then Lon came out to a friend, Lon, mutual friend, came out to right. Calgary, drove back to Winnipeg with him, and I said, you know, I have to write another verse for that song. And I just wrote it right there. In 1 second, honestly. It was like, I don't even remember it, you know? Like, it's so funny. I'm just trying to think. Unless I have a guitar,
divine inspiration that hits you. And it's a great tune. I've heard it.
Right.
And we'll play it later on so right. people can hear kind of what you're all into. But you've got a lot of songs like that, and you've actually right. played some live gigs before. And you mentioned Lon, and you played a gig at his
yeah.
restaurant.
Yeah.
Which is
I,
great.
I played at the Great Panini. Now, I was in
Hold
my
on.
Defense.
The what? The what?
The Great Panini.
That was the name
a restaurant,
of restaurant
in Regina, Saskatchewan, right on Main Street. And he had a PA set up, and he had a bunch of friends come. And there was about 15 people waiting for me to play my songs. And
the poster was like live yeah. at the Great Panini. Was it Spiwi?
Dude, I pulled a total Axl Rose for that show, man. That's what's so funny. It's like I deliberately went, yeah, they can wait. You know, like I said that, and I walked around my house in Calgary knowing that it would take me 8 hours to get there. And I walked around like I was going to the Madison Square Garden and right. everybody cares only about me. I'm Michael Jackson's Super Bowl 97 or whenever that
93.
Was. 93, and I milked the crowd for 90 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But my 90 seconds turned into 3 hours late. So I showed up and I... And everybody had gone. Like,
how many people were in attendance for your show?
Oh, zero. My dog at the time. She watched. And even Lon left. He looked and he was into it. I saw him nodding his head. And then he went in the back. And I finished my set because I'm not going to break set. And I go into the back and I'm like, dude, what happened to you? He says, well, I had some paperwork to do. I couldn't believe it, man. I couldn't believe it.
So you played, that was your first live gig, and you played it basically to zero
the dog.
People. To your dog, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Zero humans
yeah.
and one canine.
Right, right, right. right. Yeah.
But that's the life yeah. of a rock and roll musician.
Well, it is. Well, it's a good first gig. But, you know, I got to tell you, this song that I wrote, mm-hmm. and not to keep going back, because I'm not trying to over-promote this, but that's why I'm here. I know you heard
yeah,
some weird,
that's
creepy
why
shit.
You're here.
I knew you heard some weird, creepy shit about
that's
my cum urine solution.
Okay.
But why I'm here. But listen to the last verse. I just remembered. Listen to this. I think I'll have two more bourbon. Not one, two. Bourbon is a heavy drink. Who would
yes,
even
right,
say
right, right.
I think I'll have two more bourbon. Trash the streets by your home. When you're out in the Trans-Canada and you're always alone. Anybody drive down that highway, you're almost always alone. That is a barren
I love
highway.
It.
I mean, compared to the U.S., right?
It's a great, great
right.
bit of bit you know, of lyric there.
And I'll be smiling every way till the pavement turns to sand. driving the Gold Coast Highway, holding your hand, and I'll miss the down. You know, that's just a great segue back.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And so, like I said,
I'm just saying, I didn't write it. The Muse wrote it.
Well, the Muse wrote it, exactly.
Yeah. Doesn't mean anything. I'll sell it.
But here's something that was written, and this is questions from your fans that we asked at Talk is Jericho.
I have to talk about when I put a paper towel roll on the end of my dick and gave it a blowjob, though, first.
Please do.
Well, yeah, see, that's another thing I would do. I would use a paper towel roll. I'd get myself as hard as I can. I'd connect it to my mouth because I never knew what a blowjob. Everybody would go, hey, why don't you go home and get a blowjob? Why don't you choke your chicken, Spivak, you loser? So I would run home, and I'd be like, oh, what is this blowjob thing? And I would put a toilet paper roll. I would take it out, you know, just the sleeve in it, and I'd put it on my mouth and put it on the end of my dick, and I would blow on it, and I got a blowjob. And I would come back, and I would brag to everybody at school.
Oh, so you thought that was
good? Oh, yeah. I go, I got a blowjob last night, and it was really good, and the girl really sucked it, but the girl was me, and sucking it through a paper towel roll.
The girl was the paper towel.
I was Ron Jeremy. He didn't need the paper towel roll. He could suck his own dick. Dave, paper towel roll. Two of them.
It's still hurting your back trying to bend over and reach it.
It's the reason I have a sciatic nerve problem. Oh, my lower back.
All right, we're going to go into some fan questions, which is...
Oh, thank God, because we need a drink.
A new thing here on Talk is Jericho. So at Defendress of San wants to know, what is the best piece of advice you've heard or have read, Spiwi?
Best piece of advice I've... okay. That's a really good question. This girl's very smart.
From lyrics? I always envision it as a girl as well, but I'm not sure.
Right.
So maybe some lyrics or a line?
Yeah. I would think that, don't count your chickens.
All right. At Duff Nash wants to know, where in Alberta was Fargo shot?
Like, what am I, Google? Seriously.
Oh, now you're getting into angry Spewy.
No, I'm just saying, man. It's like, Calgary, High River, round Bragg Creek. You heard the story. Talking to one of the big stars from it, and a piss off. Okay, next question.
And what episode were you in again?
6 and maybe 7. We don't know.
And what?
There was an organism of mine in 7. Now beat it. Next question.
Okay, at Condorus wants to know, did you ever kiss Chris Jericho?
Yes, actually, yeah.
Last year on New Year's.
Every New Year's for probably about 10 years.
No, we've had this thing for a while where it's like we're
wasted,
actors.
Wasted. Yeah,
but we're actors. Yeah. Like, like a Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal kiss each other in Brokeback Mountain. And I would do that for a movie because it doesn't make you gay. You're playing a part. And we'd always be like, who can get close enough? It's like kiss chicken. Who can get close enough? And I got you last year. I kissed you on the lips last year.
I think you get me most of the years, actually, because I always turn away. I'm good up to that last half a second, you go for it. Yeah,
you can't go all the way. You don't commit well enough.
No, I can commit to the acting thing, just not the homosexuality of it.
But there's nothing homosexual about it. Okay.
Kissing the lips, I don't know.
At Hollywood, what's the name? Oh, at Hollywood, no, sorry. At TK Brand 14, not to be confused with TT Boy, do you love to read? And if so, what's your favorite book or book series?
I do read. I don't read a heck of a lot. I like Charles Bukowski. Really like Bukowski. I like...
What's the deal with Bukowski? Who is he? I know the name.
Super crazy, 60s pop culture author.
Because you even have that in...
Alcoholic, just telling it how it is and no rules at all. Dude, his stuff makes the world today look like a complete joke. It's really actually quite fun to go back in time reading him, being such a rebel back in the day and talking about, just drinking and having sex and hanging out in bars and getting fat and just, it's very humorous. Everything's just great humor.
Because you mentioned that in I Didn't Quit, I Just Ran Out of Money. I miss Bukowski's Second Day Bounce.
Right.
What is that?
I kind of just made that up.
Okay.
But to me, it would be his Second Day Hangover.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a specific thing.
Yeah. I miss The Charge. I miss The Ounce. I miss Bukowski's Second Day Bounce. Well, I didn't quit. I just ran out of money.
That's good. Yeah. Cool. I know you're a big Bukowski fan. It's funny.
You've been actually listening.
Yeah, I like your song. And it's funny, when I was in Europe, I was texting you pictures of Bukowski. There was posters on the wall.
Yeah, the band called the Bukowski.
He's super popular.
There
was actually a band called
Bukowski. Right, right.
So, so at Imperial Jordan wants to know, Spiwi, what albums are you listening to at the moment?
Well, actually, I've gone Zevon's Excitable Boy. I started listening to again, you know, which is one of the greatest albums. It really, really is. Honestly, I mean, if you're not into the Zevon, you got to get into it. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. I could go nuts. I could like jump out of the window of this hotel right now over Zevon. And I'm listening to it.
Why do you
like
him so much?
Well, he's just such a great writer, you know. He's so
lyrically
hilarious.
Quotes.
He's clever. His just words are so great. He's a great pianist. He's a great guitar player. He was Stravinsky trained. He was such a rebel in a time when you couldn't be a rebel. And I think that's what kind of made him not a huge household name, although he kind of is. Like, he's almost a household name because he's like the biggest obscurest star.
For heavy rock and roll, he reminds me of King's X. It's a band that all the big bands love, but never really made it to that next level.
I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like Springsteen loves Zevon, and Jackson Brown loves Zevon, and the Eagles love Zevon. But Zevon himself never really made it to that next level.
Well, he had a point, though, of such crazy success that King's X would never have had. You know, like, that's the weird thing. It's like, mm-hmm. he kind of got on the charts a few times, like, you know, Werewolves of London.
Everyone knows Werewolves of London.
Right?
But what's his other song? Does he have, what's his
Well,
other
like, big... Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, Carmelita, Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner is such a
I would
great
know
song.
Poor, Pitiful Me more as a Ronstadt song.
Yeah, it was,
and Carmelita's more
song,
of a Springsteen song, right?
No, I don't think Springsteen
ever
did Rosalita.
Carmelita. Sorry.
Carmelita is a very depressing song, strung out on heroin song, man.
See, that's your, like, true artist type stuff.
Oh, true artist, absolutely. There's no faking with Zevon, but, you know, there's other people. There's Jason Isbell that I listen to a lot. And I saw him at the Winnipeg Folk Fest, and he's up for a couple Grammys. He's a kind of a country pop breakout star. His songs are so deep, man. It's crazy. Like, he's an amazing writer, songwriter, a lyricist. You know, I hate it when people compare anybody, but it's like, you know, they call him the new Dylan just because he's so, and people have said that other people, but this guy can write words mm-hmm. with great riffs, and he's a great guitar player.
So, and that leads to the next question from at the real T Davis. Spiwi, what's your most memorable concert experience?
Pink Floyd, Division Bell, 1997 or 8, Winnipeg Stadium.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that's without Roger Waters.
That's without Roger Waters. The band was so small, and it was what went on around it. And One of These Days from, I think, Metal. I think it's from, it's the opening track. One of These Days, I'm going to cut you into little pieces. You know, it's like a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then everybody starts playing the strings. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and it just builds up. And you see these hogs, inflatable hogs, fly out of the speakers over the crowd.
Pigs, yeah, flying pigs.
And we were on mushrooms, my friends and I, like, and that, you know, and light mushrooms, just so people don't think I didn't see what I saw.
Guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, great guy. Oh, great guys. The teacher, Craig Stewart,
yeah, little Daniel,
works at Fort Richmond High School as a teacher. Oh, the university prof, Judy Davis. She was, oh, you'd never seen Miss Davis. You think she's a granny. You should have seen her with her panties around her neck higher than a kite. Looking for an O. Henry bar.
Did you ever see Roger Waters' The Wall?
Yeah, in Edmonton.
Amazing
concert,
too.
Yeah.
That was an amazing mm-hmm. concert as well. Okay, and it leads to the last fan question. We've got a good selection of fan questions here.
Yeah.
At The Mike Frisori wants to know, what's the capital of Texas?
Hey, sorry, Mike. Get it? That's it. Yeah, f*** you, Mike. Hey, Mike. When you've cut off the little bit of foreskin you have left, drown yourself with it by doing a line of it, you cut. Capital of Texas is Stupidville. That's what it is. It's stupid.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Wow. Okay.
Looks like we're only getting another 20 minutes.
So, one last story that you
More stories.
About.
Yeah. No need to repeat any.
A few years ago. You were at the cabin, Traverse Bay, and you went swimming. And what happened?
I was in the Okanagan, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, sorry. Okanagan.
I went swimming. All right. So I was like, you know when you get older mm-hmm. and you think you're in better shape than you are?
Right.
You look in the mirror and you see a different person than everyone else sees. When alcohol is taken over
and your face starts to change and your jaw starts to drop. Everything starts falling forward. You know the feeling. You go, oh, sure was a lot of doubles last night. Glug, glug. Body's falling apart. Face is falling towards the street. Well, I don't know that feeling.
So what happened?
Yeah, so I just went out there to Lake Okanagan, and I went out, and there was water, and I thought I was in better shape than I was. And I was dating a girl at the time that was a good swimmer. So we were deciding to swim out there together. And I said, let's swim over to one of those buoys, you know.
Buoys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these weren't children. Yeah, it was like, oh, the sun was hitting him from an angle.
Is that little Daniel?
Yeah, little Daniel was just glistering in the sun. I stole it. This time, if I steal his childhood, I go to prison.
Right.
Back then, when I was the same age, anything went. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, so we went swimming out to the boys. Buoys.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, boy. I was around the three-quarter mark of getting to them. And I was out of gas. And there was a swell in the water that kept... Every time I tried to swim towards the buoy, it would push me back to the beach. I almost died for real. I started panicking and pushing towards the boys. They were waving. They had lunch boxes. I kept pushing towards them. And I couldn't believe the power of the water moving me around. And the girl I was with was a really good swimmer. And she, that was the other thing. I didn't know her super well, I guess. So it was the whole, she was like, oh, yeah, you know, I was in a swim team in high school. I was like, oh, grew up at the lake, swam from, you know, lying. Swam, oh, I went from Grand Beach to Victoria Beach.
I got gun training.
Nobody can
do that. I can shoot a gun. Yeah.
Nobody can even do that, but you could, right? So I was, you know, kind of thinking I can do this too. And the boys were far away, by the way. I mean, you couldn't tell if they were legal or not, Your Honor. You know, they were so far away.
You just swim to the boys, touch them, and swim back, basically, right?
Well, in this case, I got about, oh, God, half a mile away from the boys.
That's a long way.
And I panicked in a big way. And she came to kind of grab me, and I said, get the fuck away from her, I'll kill you, I said to her. Because I was hyperventilating and everything. I was nuts. I didn't threaten anybody's life. Okay?
She was a good person.
Yeah, well, great girl. So...
Get away from him, I'm going to kill you.
Not kill you.
Right, no, but knowing you, that's probably what you said.
Edit. Get away or I'm going to be in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Edit again.
No, kill you is great because you're angry.
Right. Yeah, right. I'm panicking.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not going to kill anybody.
You can't because you can't.
Yeah, so she's like, okay. And I'm like, look, just help me. I can do this. And I started going on my back because I know on my back I can try to relax. And I started trying to do some serious, like my mantra was, don't die a wimp, but you're going to. That's what it was. It was like I had the mantra, but there was this other voice that went in, but you're going to die.
You're going to die a wimp.
Because that's what happens. Like right. You start panicking in the water, and I'm super far away from shore. I can barely see the shore. Well, that's not true. But it was far. But people were starting to collect because they could tell that I was panicking, and there was a crowd starting to assemble.
At the shoreline.
Yeah.
Watching this dummy dying.
Right. Well, yeah. So I'm about 40 feet, 50 feet away from the boy.
Oi.
And I'm like, oh, and I'm just screaming and I'm giving everything I can. Screaming and giving everything I can. And I came up to the boy and I hugged it, you know.
You made it to the boy.
Yeah. But these things are tipping over. It's tipping over as I'm holding it and I'm taking gulps of water. And the girl that I'm with at the time comes up and she like grabs an end and we kind of stabilize it.
So she's swimming beside you.
Yeah. And she's like
come on, Porksy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, and she's really worried. Like she's like, oh my God. Like she's a real swimmer too. She could have swam 4 times that distance,
right.
Not me. And for the record, it still was far.
Right.
Okay.
Because
I'm still dumb enough to try something and live for a while anyway. And I
panicked and I got to that boy and I hung on and I had to do this deep breathing shit for a few minutes. And there was a guy, and I had no facial hair at the time, not that it matters, but there was a guy in a beard and he was in a kayak and he saw me. And he, and okay, so Malcolm, by the way, Malcolm was there, our friend Malcolm.
Your friend, yeah.
And he came up and the guy's like a total athlete in like great shape, always has been. And his choice of floatable is a freaking, you know, 3 foot high turtle. Like a kid would float on. So he's sitting on it. He's trying to come to me. And I'm like, help, help. This is before I hit the boy. I'm like, help. Like, not help. Help. Like, just like, I even, oh, my God. The girl I was with actually said to me, she said, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I'm sorry I panicked. She's like, okay, it's okay. And then a boat went by with a skier, and I looked at it, and it was so far away, and I just screamed, help, help, like just screaming it like my like three times and then just treading water again. And Malcolm could see I was in trouble, and this guy at the kayak came just ripping onto the water and his perfect body and his flew down on his kayak towards me. And I was like, and he was like, are you, you know, he gets closer. He goes, you okay? And I'm, and by this time I'm on the boy, I'm hanging on. I'm just hyperventilating. And then I'm like, oh, thanks, man. Like I could totally use a ride back. Like I totally freaked out, you know? So so he says, why don't you hang on to the back? And he said to the girl I'm with, do you want a ride? And she's like, no, I'm fine. Like she was like, so I hung on to the back and he pulled me in. And anyway, I started growing facial hair almost immediately. After that, like I had never met a real man. I had thought I was around real men. I thought I was a real man. This guy, the people were clapping as he went back onto the beach holding his kayak. He had it over his head like a trophy. I stayed in the water. I kneeled down and pretended that I needed 10 minutes of breathing exercises so that the crowd might stop looking at me and disperse so I didn't have to hear it or feel the tension or have to thank everyone. I was already obsessing over the fact, should I give him money? Like, I have 20 bucks. And is 20 bucks worth my life? I started thinking, yeah, give him a tip for saving me. And so I did. You know when you go on your knees in a sandbar and you're down about right up to the chest level? I sat like that. And I did not look at the crowd for 5 minutes. And when I looked back, everybody had pretty much forgotten about it until I walked up. And then they all gave me a look. At least 12 people looked at me. But I had to. I was like, this is going to be awful. I always know, right? So I just went, and I went on my knees, turned my back, and I just started saying to myself, that was a real man. You'll never be a real man. A real man owns a kayak, and he's skinnier, doesn't have thyroid issues. He doesn't have to take cranberry pills just to get the urine out of him. Why don't you just walk down the beach like a real man one day with a beard? Grow the beard like he had a beard. Oh, wouldn't you love to be living with him as he paid the bills? Because you can't pay the bills. You're a loser. But him with the kayak, he could pay the bills for you. Well, anyways, I was very grateful that he took me and showed me that I should have just died that day, that there's not much worth living. Stupid Spivak, stupid Spivak, stupid Spivak, you dumb idiot. Stupid Spivak, stupid Spivak.
All right, those classic Spiwi pep talk. Yeah, hilarious interview with Spiwi, and you can hear him slowly getting further and further down the drinking hole on that show. But what a great guy, and you never know what he's going to say or what he's going to do. He's not for everyone, but then again, either am I, and that's why we get along so well. Or do we even get along at all? Like I said, do we really have anything in common? It doesn't matter. He's a great guy, stand-up comedian, actor, and very talented singer, songwriter, musician with the Dave Spivak Project. Go search it on Facebook. The first two singles are out. One you already heard on the show, I Didn't Quit, I Just Ran Out of Money. I love that title. The other one is Get Out of My House, and the full album is coming out this fall. Once again, Dave Spivak, that's S-P-I-V-A-K, the Dave Spivak Project on Facebook. Go search it out on YouTube as well if you want to hear the songs. Twitter is @Spiwi and @ Dave Spivak Project. Is that right? Or did I mess it up? Let me just go do a little research. No, it's at D Spivak Project. Go check out the songs and make Spewy into a super duper star, even bigger than he would be from being here on Talk is Jericho. And thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting all my guests and all my sponsors on TIJ, including Amazon. Easiest way to support this show. Just go to podcastone.com, click on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. All my Amazon links are there. You can get anything you want on Amazon. Don't forget, I want you to be a Jericho Amazon warrior. If you buy something on the links, if you live in the USA, in the UK, or Canada, if you buy something, take a picture of it, post it on the Twitter, at Talk is Jericho. I will retweet you and follow you. How's that? Plus, if you buy something on Amazon, on those links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to this show. Help us cover production costs, no hidden fees or extra charges. So go to podcastone.com, click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button, and you'll find all those great great links. We find the Amazon, all the wares that you can buy that will help out this show. And subscribe to the show. If you want to continue to help out, get yourself to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating. We love your feedback. We love your comments, or read them all. We're moving up the iTunes charts. We're making waves here and growing the Talk is Jericho army. And remember, speaking of a huge podcast, the biggest podcast ever is happening right here on March 15th, 2017. Jericho and Mick Foley for the first time ever on Talk is Jericho. It's going to be the biggest podcast ever. March 15th, Foley and Jericho on Talk is Jericho. Make sure you listen. Make sure to keep listening now for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. And next Wednesday, you ever heard of Aaron Stevens? You might have. Well, you have heard of his alter ego, Damian Sandow. That's right, Damian Sandow, recently out now on the free agent market, finished with the WWE. He's got a lot of comments about what he felt about his WWE career, what he felt about being released about a month ago, and what he has in store for his future. To be or not to be, Aaron Stevens, a.k.a. Damian Sandow, will be here on Wednesday. We will see you then. Peace, love, and hugs. Have a great weekend and a big year, boy. I didn't quit. I just ran out of money.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.